Okay, let's have a look. Okay, let's have a look at the okay, are we right? So just let me get things. Okay, let's have a look at where we're right. Money matters. Let's see, excuse me. Let's pray. Father, every Sunday we come together as a community. We come together as a community to meet each other, encourage each other. But we also come as a community because you have called us together and you want to speak to us. We've just heard you speak to us from Philippians chapter 4. And as I speak to unpack what that means, may your Spirit humble our hearts, open our ears, and equip our hands, Lord. And we pray all this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Today is a message that comes to the last of our series on money matters. And dare I say, I actually want this to be quite an uncomfortable message. Uncomfortable because at the end of throughout this message and by the end of it, what I want to do is to actually review and think about how much we actually give. And this doesn't just apply to the older people, even for the young ones. I actually want to challenge you young ones to think about how much you give. Give to the work of the gospel, both locally in our church and to the world globally. And it's an uncomfortable talk to talk about giving. Because when we talk about giving, there's always a question about motives. You're only interested in money. That's why you're obsessed with talking about giving. I know that when I was young, like you guys, the teenagers, and I became a Christian, my parents were very concerned about going to my church because their thought was the church is always worried about money. All they want is just money, nothing more, nothing less. They're just money. And so to talk about money, particularly from a pastor, and talk about giving is itself questionable at best. Sadly, we know of many pastors around the world who are obsessed with money. And you can see that by the clothes they wear, by the fine mansion they live in, and by their own private jet. So I get the concern that we have about money, and particularly when the pastors talk about money. Yet sadly, in our overreaction to not be so obsessed with money and concerned about greed, I think the tragedy is that we don't think rightly about money enough. But when we talk about money, the one area that we don't talk well about is about how to give. Now, we talked about this a few weeks about generosity, but what I want to do is specifically talk about how much we want to give. Generally for the good of the community, but especially for the good of eternity. And sadly, it needs to be said that when it comes to giving, it is a massive blind spot in the lives of most of us. So we're going to be talking about money and the gospel. But I want you to look at these statistics. Have a look at the statistics here. Here in 2009 was the average household spend. 2009 was 10 years ago, right? How much do you think was the average spend of a household per week in 2009? Any idea? You want to hazard a guess? What do you think it was? Who wants to give it a shot? Yep. Per week. 20,000, okay, 20,000. You want to go better than that or less? Any thoughts? Anyone? Sorry? 1,000? Okay. 3,000? Oh, we're going to do an auction here. Anyone from this side? Bruce? You're the money man, Quad Bank. All right, average household spend per week was $1,236 per week, all right? Now, when you break it down to major items, okay, how much do you think we spent on various things, right? Now, we're not going to go through a whole lot, but just say, now I could ask the kids, let's ask the kids here. Holiday, how much do you think you would spend a week on holidays and recreation? What do you think, Jono? Guess? $700. Okay. Anyone want to try? Jeff? $200? Someone here in the middle. Joshua? No guess? All right, let's have a look at that sort of thing. Oh, $200. What was it? $200? Recreation, $161. But look at how much, when you break down that $1,200, just over $200 in housing, food was $200, transportation $200, recreation, alcohol, tobacco. I don't think many people smoke here, right? Right? So that's how it was, right? But here's the question. How much do you think we spent on giving, average Australian giving, per week to churches and to charities? Now, what do you think? Any thoughts? What do you think, Alice? $20, okay, $20, Wendy. Sorry? $50, okay. Anyone else? Roland? $30, okay. Whoa. That was the average giving per household per week in 2009. $3 to churches and just over $4 to charity organizations. They would get an income, they would spend $1,200, and they would give $2, $3 to churches, and generally $4 to charity. See, now that was 10 years ago, but relatively speaking, I don't think things have changed much. But it's interesting to note, in 2016, this is the average household spend on charity, which was $338. Now, what was the average income of Australians at the time? Back in 2016, the average income, you know what it was? $56,000. So $56,000, a person would give over $300 on charity. Now, how much is that percentage? What do you think that's percentage-wise? Anyone got a calculator? You know what that is? 0.6%. So in other words, the average Australian back in 2016 would give 0.6% just to charity organisation. And what does this say? It says that we basically are a community that's not good on giving. We're good on spending, but we're not good on giving. We do not think much about giving. And this is borne out by other statistics. Have a look at these statistics. Look at these statistics there on the scale, right? Can you see that? It's a bit blurry, right? But you know there's one thing it doesn't talk about? There's nothing there about giving. Recreation, transport, personal care, other good services, healthcare, insurance, so on and so forth. Food is 22%. But it's interesting, nothing is said about giving. Giving is not seen as part of your expenditure. Giving is not seen as part of your spending. If you're going to be talking about spending, let's talk about how we spend on ourselves. Or take these statistics as well. Similarly, look at this. Again, when you look at the statistics, there's nothing to say about giving. And when you look at average, and look at this one again, similarly again, there's nothing about giving. And what does that teach us, right? When you look at what is currently missing, it teaches that giving is not on the radar for most of us. And I dare say most of us. Giving is not something we think about. When we think about money, we think about investments. When we think about money, we think about self. We think about how to feed ourselves, clothe ourselves, and so on. Now, is it any wonder why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer? But how do Christians fare on this? That's talking about the average household, but what are the Christians like? Well, the average churchgoer giving in 2016, here's good news. The average churchgoer was three times more likely to give $1,000 annually. Three times more likely to give. But here's the question. This was done by McCrindle Research. McCrindle is an Australian company, and McCrindle himself is a Christian, very strong, committed Christian, right? But when he did this research, he also did some studies about churchgoers. Those who earned $160,000 above, what was their giving? Do you know what they researched, what their giving was? What do you think it was? Any thoughts? Dennis. Any thoughts? Hazard a guess? No? Danny? No idea? Sorry? 5,000? Average churchgoer earning more than 1,000 was 0.6%. You know what that works out to be? $20 per week. Whoa, $20 per week. That's if they give that's if they earn $160,000 plus. But what about the average churchgoer? What was the average churchgoer getting? What was he giving? Now, not much better. 0.7%, which works out, let's just say, if they're earning $55,000 according to 2016 statistics, that means they were giving $7.5 per week. $7.5 per week. Now, by comparison, now, let me ask the question. Think about, remember what the average household was 0.6%. Average churchgoer, if you get 160,000 Ks, your average was about 0.6%. If you're an average churchgoer, your average was 0.7%. Now, in many ways, that's not bad by comparison. But what about CCC? What's the average church? What's the average giving at CCC? Do you know what it was? $25 to $50 per week. Now, that may seem a lot more, right? By comparison, that may be a lot better. But we need to remember the little old lady, the poor lady that we came across 2 weeks ago. Because what did she do? She gave not out her wealth, but out of her poverty. Because a lot of people that she was milling around with were giving their spare change out of their wealth. But this lady was giving out of her poverty all that she was living on. And I think we need to think hard that while it's not about how much we give, but how much we give up that counts, the reality is, are we being serious about our giving? Are we truly being generous? On the one hand, we can pat ourselves on the back and say we're much better than the rest of the world, $25 to $50 a week. But by comparison to how much we actually earn, are we truly that generous? Are we truly that generous? So what we want to do is look at money. Money matters. And over the last few weeks, what we have, we've looked at money and God. And we said, and Owen told us that we need to develop a culture of thanksgiving for all the things which God has given us. Do you develop that spirit of thanksgiving? And 2 weeks ago, we talked about money and generosity. That it's not how much you give, but how much you give up. That we need to be like the Lord Jesus, that who was rich, gave up all that you have to become poor, that we who are poor might become rich. But today we want to look at this third talk, which is money and the gospel. And today we want to dive deeper down into what does it mean to partner with the gospel? What does it mean to actually give to actually the work of the gospel? And again, I make no apology that I actually want to challenge us to really think hard about how much we give, both to the church in terms of partnering with the Word, and also to gospel work outside in terms of our mission and so on and so forth. So I want to say from the outset that I hope this will be a painful talk, not only for you, but it needs to be a painful talk for myself as well. Because what's good for you also needs to be three times better for myself. But we're going to look at Philippians, but let's look at what's Philippians about, right? Well, Philippians is a letter. If you haven't let Philippians, read it. It's a letter. It's a letter from Paul, who was in prison. And he's actually reading a letter to the Philippians. And in this letter, he does three things. He wants to give an update on how things are going well with him. He was in prison. They were concerned about him. And Paul says, I'm going really well. The work of the gospel is actually exploding, which is fantastic. He wants to encourage them to keep them growing. But certainly he wants to also thank you. Thank you for the money which they have sent to him time and time again in terms of financial aid. That is the letter of Philippians. For today, we're just going to zero in chapter 4, 10 to 12. In this section, there's five simple things I want to say. Money matters to Paul, and money matters a lot to Paul. Giving is an opportunity for partnership. Giving is an opportunity to be blessed. God will give in return money and the gospel. So let's just drill down into the first one. That is, money matters. Money matters a lot to Paul. And Paul is concerned and so thankful is the money that he actually says thank you. So you look at this passage here in chapter 4, verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. So Paul is very thankful to the Philippians for the money which they have sent to him. Now, it doesn't say specifically money, but presumably because, you know, they, Epaphroditus, had to travel long distances. The most convenient way of showing aid was not by giving lots of food which will perish or clothes which will be heavy to carry, but presumably by money. So he can make that conclusion. And indeed, it seems that the Philippians were the only ones to show a real concern for Paul in his fine situation. So you read in chapter 4, 15. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. Sadly, it seems that the lack of giving is not only a recent problem, but an age-old problem, even in the time of Paul. Trying to get the church to give was as much a problem today as it was in Paul's time. So much so that Paul says that only you, of all the churches in Macedonia, only you, the Philippians, were willing to give into the work of the gospel. Only one church. Nevertheless, Paul is very thankful to this church. Very thankful. But notice how Paul describes their giving. Because point two is that giving is an opportunity to partner in the work of the gospel. So look at what Paul says in verses 14 and 15. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even though I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Another word, share there, or shared. It's the idea of fellowship. It's the idea of partnership. That is to say that when the Philippians gave money to Paul, it wasn't just money that they were giving. It was part of a partnership. That's what Paul saw their giving as, part of a partnership. You see, we're big on fellowship, aren't we? Fellowship is about sharing. Fellowship is about getting involved in each other's lives. And as far as Paul was concerned, when the Philippians were giving money and aid to Paul, it wasn't just money and cash, dollar signs. It was a genuine partnership, a fellowship. And you can see this because in verse 10, what does Paul say? Because Paul says that their giving was an expression of their concern for him. Or in verse 15, what does it say? In verse 15, you shared in my troubles. You shared in my troubles. It's a funny thing, isn't it? Because sometimes when we give, you know what we tend to do when we're not giving? We use giving as a substitute. You know what I mean by a substitute? Sometimes we give because to ease our guilty conscience. The plate comes around, the bag comes around, and we feel, oh, guilt, I've got to put some money in. That's our giving. Or for some people, giving is like the absent father who gives as a substitute for love. They're thinking that giving money is easier than being with them. And a lot of Asian fathers are a bit like that, aren't they? Or sometimes giving, we give in order to avoid the hard work. You know what it's called? It's called paying. It's not partnership, it's paying. We pay Mays to do this sort of thing. We pay this to do this so that I don't have to do it. And it needs to be said, sometimes the money which pastors get is not a partnership, but a payment to the pastors so that the congregation members don't have to do it. But Paul is different. As far as Paul is concerned, their giving was a genuine part of wanting to be part of their work. It was a partnership. Now, this helps us to think very hard about this question of membership. See, what does it mean to be a member of a church? What does it mean to be a member of a church? And I actually want to say that a member of church means to be a partner in this church. And to be a partner in this church means that you are committed to the work of this church. It means that you want to give what you give, your gifts, your talents, your energy and your time to working together to realize the vision of this church. To be one community, growing in Christ, serving in love, reaching the world. When you gave money to the FY students to go, I would hope that was not just to ease your conscience. I always hope that that's not just to avoid doing the hard work. But I hope that when you gave money to the FY kids to go and buy the presents, you had a genuine concern to make sure that they get presents that they could give to others. You see, when Paul thanked them for their money, he was thanking them for their partnership, thanking them for being involved in his troubles, thanking them for showing concern. And the question you've got to ask yourself here is, when you give to the church, is it a substitute to ease your conscience? Is it a substitute like the absent father to, okay, it's easier to give money than to give my hard labor? Is it a payment or is it a partnership that you want to be involved in this work? Because the truth of the matter, and now let me be pretty bold, if your money is merely just as a guilty conscience, we don't want it because it will do nothing. If you want to give that money because it's an absent father mindset, I'll give the money, it's a lot easier giving money than doing this sort of, then we don't want it. If your money is to payment so that you don't have to do the work, don't want it. But if it's money, it's a genuine partnership, then we want that partnership. We want that partnership. Because when you give that partnership, it's an opportunity to be blessed. To be blessed. In the beginning, he thanked them for the gift. When you look at what Paul says, he, chapter 4, verse 10, he thanked them profusely for the gift. But the funny thing about the thanking about the gift, he never really wanted the gift in the first place. Now, that's not to say he wasn't thankful. Paul says at the very beginning that he has learnt the secret of true contentment. I didn't need the gift, but thank you anyway. I didn't need all the, I had all that I need, so but thank you anyway. So what was the point of the gift? What was the point of the gift? And Paul's point is that the gift is a greater blessing to you than it is to me. How so? Look what Paul says in 4:13. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that that more to be credit to your account. In other words, he sees their gift as being something that will truly bless who? Yeah, Paul for sure. But more importantly, is the blessing that will come to the Philippians themselves. That is what so Paul is so excited about. By their giving, they themselves will be greatly blessed. You know, there's an important principle we need to come to grips with in the Bible. And that important principle is that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. More blessed to give than it is to receive. Sadly, my father was not the most generous person in the world. Actually, I have to say, sadly, he was quite a money-loving person. When my father passed away, I took care of my mother. And I was going through Westfield one day to shop with her, just taking her shopping. And you know, you have those charity organizations with the buckets. And she insisted on stopping to put money into those buckets. Why do you want to do that? She feels good doing that sort of thing. As she said to me, she never had the opportunity to do that when my dad was alive. There is a blessedness, a remarkable blessedness that comes when you share, when you give. People often ask, why should I become a member of the church? The word membership carries, what do I get out of it? And my response is simply this. What you get out of it is an opportunity to serve. I said, what? An opportunity to serve? That's nothing. And that's because we fail to understand this biblical principle that to give is to be blessed. To give is to be blessed. If you're a spectator, that is, you come but don't give, you will never get blessed. I tell you that, you won't be blessed. All you're coming is for the show, but the show's half-baked up front, but you're not going to be blessed. But if you come with this attitude of giving and being a partner, then you will be greatly blessed. You will be greatly blessed. That's why in FY we talk about, we have three B's. Believe. What is the second B, kids? And what does belong mean? Yeah, belong means to help each other belong. Remember that. To help each other belong. That is to say, the key to helping build a community is how we help each other to belong, not how you feel you belong. We want to be a church that's truly blessed. And the way you do that is by giving, which is why we have an opportunity to be a caring community. It's why we have an opportunity to bless the world with the Operation Christmas Child. And can I say that when you give like this, what does Paul say? I've received full payment of more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I've received from Aphrodite the gift you sent. They are a fragrant offering and acceptable sacrifice to God. It's an act of worship, isn't it? But please note here, it is not the giving that is an act of worship. Not so. It is the partnering that is the act of worship. Please make that distinction. A lot of people are giving money like in Luke chapter 21. But was that an act of worship? No, it was an act of self-indulgence. The act of worship was when the lady, that young poor woman, that poor widow gave to partner in the work of the gospel. To be the act of worship is not the giving. The act of worship is in the partnering that is expressed in your giving. And that is acceptable to God. But let's come to the fourth point. What we give, God will provide in return. Look at this. My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. And note the phrase there. According to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. The story is told. Let's get back to Bill Gates, our famous generous man. The story is told of Bill Gates. He was at a place he wanted to buy a newspaper. But Bill Gates, at that time, he was young and not well known and not wealthy. He comes up to the newspaper vendor and says, look, I don't have any money at the moment, but I want to buy a newspaper. Guys, they said, fine, take a newspaper. I don't have money. That's fine. You just take the newspaper. Thanks. That happened twice. The newspaper guy was very, very generous. 13 years later, when Bill Gates became rich and famous, he never forgot what that newspaper vendor did. So he went back and looked for him for a whole month, and he found the newspaper vendor and says, hey, do you remember who I am? Do you know who I am? Yeah, you're Bill Gates. You know what you did for me? Yeah, I gave you two newspapers. Right? And Bill said, I want to return the favor. Ask for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. Here is the richest man in the world returning a favor to a newspaper vendor for two newspapers that cost him, what, $2 each? And Bill says, whatever you want is yours. And in a similar way, what we give, it might be big in our eyes or small, but what does God say? He will provide for us according to his glorious riches. Here is a God who said, you just give me this, and I will provide you with all you need. Now, that's not a promise he's going to fill your bank balance. It's not a promise he'll give you a nice house or not a nice car. It's a promise that he will bless your life with riches that not even the world, that not even money can buy. Riches of life. Riches of joy. Riches of eternal treasures. You can understand why Paul was so obsessed with the gift, not because of the blessing to him, but the blessing to them. But Hamlet's come up, why is it so important? Because of the need of the world. Because what is the need of the world? Everyone's obsessed with climate change, but let's be honest. Climate change is nothing more than a pinprick. Because the greater danger that faces the world is the very judgment of God. It is the judgment of God will make everything pale into insignificance. But what do we have? We have the good news, the message that Jesus died for us. He has rescued us by dying in our place, and we need to get that message out to the world. But the reality is that message to get out to the world needs money. We need to pay workers. We need to raise up more workers. We want to get more workers in the church. How are we going to fund them? We need more money. That's the bottom line. Now, let me change that. We need you to partner with the church in bringing the gospel, not only to locally, but globally. So let's bring it home. Over the last few weeks, we talked about money. Today, I want to wrap it up, this series. But Nick Smith said, you cannot talk about money unless you talk about this hard question about giving. And the most obvious question is, how much are you willing to give to the work of the gospel? And the truth of the matter is that most of us, whether we like it or not, money is basically our God. How do we know that? Because we think about, most times we think about money, it's about giving, about spending on ourselves. Very little, if the statistics are right, do we think much about giving. But I actually want to challenge us that if you're a member of this church, if you're a partner of this church, if you see this church as your home church, I actually want us to think about very hard about our giving. And I want you to think about very hard about giving in this particular way. What I want to present, you would have received today what we call a faith promise. And what is a faith promise? It's really a faith promise is a promise of how much you want to give to the work of the church, both locally and overseas. How much you want to give. And this is how it works. First thing is, faith promise is an anonymous thing. No one's going to know about it. I'm not going to know about it. The deacon's not going to know about it. The elders are not going to know about it. No one in this room is going to know about it, only between you and God, because it's anonymous. A faith promise is an opportunity to review and stop, because most times we don't actually think about how much we give. We don't, really. But thirdly, it's a promise. It's a promise. Because you think about our giving, we give when the plate comes around. Oh, let's see what I go. Or we give because it's depending on our circumstance. This is a promise. This is a promise how much I want to partner with the church. This is a promise how much I want to partner in the work of the gospel, overseas or locally, whatever. This is a promise, regardless of my circumstances go up or down, this is still a promise. I am committed to give this much. But it's a promise based on faith, not on your convenience, not on your capacity, but based on faith. That's why I call it a faith promise, because it's based on, this is what I believe that God will enable me to give. Not because I have it now, but I believe that God will provide me with what I need to give in order to fulfill my promise. That's why it's called a faith promise. Remember the widow? She gave out of all her savings because she believed that God will provide for her. And so what I want to do in the next minute is to give you an opportunity, having wrapped up this series on giving, to give you an opportunity to bring the whole thing to home and say, let's get real with the whole thing. In your thing, take out your thing there. What I want you to do is in the next minute, prayerfully consider how much you want to promise that you're going to give to God in the year to come. This, we're going to review this end of next year. How much are you going to promise to give to God in the year to come? Based on your faith in God. Not on your convenience, not on what's comfortable, but on your faith in God. What you believe God will enable you to give. And there's some regular giving, $20. Maybe you've never given $20. $50, $100, $250, $500. Some can only give $20. That's fine. But honestly, some might be able to give in $500 a week. Or there's others. Weekly, monthly, one time. And there's also mission fund, because we want to be thinking about not only money for the church, but missions as well. And then you write down student work. No one gets out of this one, because giving is something we need to teach not only all of us, but even young people, because they need to learn this spirit of giving as well. And I actually want all of us to prayerfully stop for 1 minute and think how much we're going to give in promise to God, based on our faith that God will provide for us. At the end of the service, when we wrap up in a moment, I want you to tear off this. How it works is a slip. You tear off one slip and you put it in that box there. And the other one, you know what you do with that one? You put it on your fridge with a magnet there, and to remind you of your promise before God. And you can put paper over it so when anyone comes over, I come over, no one can see it, because it's just between you and God and no one else. Because I don't want this to be a guilt trip in the sense that, not a comparison. I don't want to know about it. Elders don't want to know about it. The deacons don't want, no one needs to know about it and should know about it. Because it's a promise between you and God alone. Right? Let's take a minute. Pause for a minute. How much do I want to promise, and I use the word promise, to give to God's work in this church and overseas? You have a pencil, I'm just going to give you 1 minute. And at the end of the service, what I want you to do, what I want you to rip that sheet off and put it in there. Now, if you need more time, I'm wimping out. If you need more time, you can bring it in next week or the week after. No one's going to hold you accountable. But if we're serious about money and we want to be honoring to God and we'd be truly blessed by God, then we've got to think seriously about money and particularly serious about this aspect of giving. Fill it in. Tick it. Rip it. And when we finish, put it in there. And if you're not ready for that, that's fine. You need to discuss with the family, that's fine. You need to go home and pray about more, that's fine. Whatever it is, It's simply between you and God. At the end of the day, money matters. Money matters because money is not God, but money is a gift from God. Money matters, and money, God gives us money so that we can be generous. And God gives us money so that we can strangely give it away so that he can bless us with more opportunities to glorify his name. Let me pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for the money which you have given to us, that we can use to enjoy the things, that the gifts that you've given to us. But we also thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to be generous in the way the Lord Jesus is generous. But Lord, we also pray that money can often be a god and blinds us. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to also be generous to the work of the gospel. And we pray all this for Jesus' sake.